the hands of the deck watch move on until they pointed to 11 minutes to midnight, when the explosion occurred. A sheet of orange-red flame leaping upwards from one of the ships close ahead of us. Down in the wardroom, I found myself on my feet, wondering what had woken me so suddenly and why the chief was dashing through the doorway. But at the next moment, the alarm gongs sounded, and I'd reached the bottom of the ladder before the chief had got to the top. On deck, the darkness was intense, but it was obvious we were swinging heavily to port under full starboard helm, while an unusual silence on board was accounted for by the fact that our engines were stopped. Running the length of the upper deck, I mounted the ladder leading to the forecastle, and in doing so looked over my right shoulder, where the dark outline of a destroyer was just visible, with a pillar of smoke stretched high above her. From the direction of the ship came a great roar of escaping steam. Next moment I was on the bridge, where Number One had already taken over from the sub, who had gone to his action station, and the coxswain was just relieving the quartermaster at the wheel. There were two alternatives to account for the explosion. Either we had run foul of a minefield, or an enemy ship concealed in the darkness had fired a torpedo hitting the fifth in line of incoming destroyers. The captains or officers of the watch of all the ships in the flotilla, except possibly of the rear ship Ariel, had decided in the instant that it was a minefield and had hauled their ships out of the line and stopped engines. We were now lying with little way on, wondering who had been struck and pitying the poor blokes on board, and also those voices could be faintly heard crying from the sea into which they had been cast by the force of the explosion. Boats were being lowered from the nearest ships, and rescue was in progress. The stricken ship was obviously one of the V's, and by her position in line, probably vehement, but we were not sure. Knowing almost for certain that we were in the midst of a minefield, we wondered uneasily whether it was to be our turn next to touch a fatal horn, hoping that if the explosion came, it would be below us on the bridge rather than beneath our cargo of 40 mines and 4 depth charges carried aft. But it was better not to let the imagination wander to explore the dark waters below, where the mines strayed upwards on their mooring wires and swayed gently as the hull of a ship slid by, or stray over to Vehement, where the whole of the forecastle was taken off, the mess decks a shambles, and the bodies of the stokers lay on the upper deck, parboiled in the blast of steam which had blown up with them from the shattered boiler rooms.